You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Journeys Unconventional with me, your host, Allie Buckley. On this podcast, I will be talking about my unconventional journey and will be joined by a handful of exceptional guests who all have beautiful journeys to share with you as well.
Keep listening and remember, be still. There is light at the end of every dark tunnel.
Today, I have a very special guest on. I have a high school friend with me today. I have Maddie Berry in the studio with me. Welcome, Maddie.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Today, we're going to be talking about eating disorders and mental health. Maddie, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, just a little background?
Sure. So my name is Maddie. I am 24 years old. And I'm from East Lyme, but moved to Old Lyme, where I met Allie, my end of my junior year or senior year of high school. Right now, I'm a yoga teacher in Old Saybrook at Saybrook Soul Sweat. And yeah, just been doing that and having fun.
Okay, great. So yeah, like Maddie said, she's a yoga instructor. Been many times.
Yes.
Great. So we're going to start by talking about your experience with your eating disorder from whenever that started. So whether that was middle school, as early as you can remember, you tell me when this started and we'll kind of go from there and talk about how you've battled this for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it started mostly my sophomore year of high school. So when I was in East Lyme, I can remember for as long, I've always been super tall. I'm like, obviously, like 5'11", 6 feet tall. And I've been that tall.
Are you almost 6 feet?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, if I stand up straight. So ever since like middle school, I've always been the bigger girl, but not big as in like weight.
Taller. Yes.
And people would just say like the bigger girl because that's obviously just the word that comes out. So I can always remember wanting to be smaller,
yeah.
Wanting to be more petite coming. Here's the slouching,
mm-hmm.
like wanting to make myself little.
Oh my God. That's so interesting.
Yeah. So, and I've always tried to lose weight. It never really happened. But then my sophomore year of high school, I like started running. I started working out a little bit more. I noticed some pounds dropping off. So I was like, oh, this is working. So I increased the working out and decreased the eating. And I was like, for a while, I was like, oh, this is fine. Like, I'm doing well. Like, my mom noticed, like, oh, you're losing a little bit of weight. And I was like, yeah, don't worry about it. I literally was like, yeah, don't worry. I'm in control. Like, I got it.
So, but wait, real quick. Like, when you were starting to lose weight, were you already at a weight that was, like, healthy and good? Or could you have stood to lose a couple of pounds? Like, how were you in regards to your body weight at that time? Like, was it a necessity for you to lose weight or was it more of just like you already like looked skinny, you did not need to lose any weight?
So no, I wasn't like thin, super thin by any means. I was healthy.
Yes.
I think I was like for my height, I was at that good body weight.
Okay.
Like if you were looking on like a chart, like a BMI, like I was considered healthy.
Gotcha.
But like aesthetically, like looking in the mirror, I was like, I could obviously, I wasn't comfortable with how I looked. So that's where like the working out came in and I started running a lot and like hours on the treadmill.
What?
Hours on the treadmill. And like
running for hours straight. You didn't stop.
Yeah. No, I would obviously stop and walk.
I was going to say, what are you looking
at? Absolutely not. But
and I'm lucky if I get like a minute of solid.
Right. Now I am. Now I'm lucky if that happens. So, and then decrease the eating and like, it was a snowball effect.
Right.
I started seeing those results and I was like, okay, so now I feel like if the more
it's kind of like addicting in a way.
It is. It's a huge addiction.
Yeah.
And so I remember like sophomore year of high school and the weight dropped quick. Like it was super quick. And I think within like 2 months I went from, let's say my heaviest, I don't know if that was in my freshman year of high school, I was maybe like 160, 165.
Which is like not a lot
for
somebody.
Foot.
Yeah, like that's a very healthy weight.
I think I dropped to 30 in a month.
Holy crap.
And I think my lowest weight ever, which was when I got admitted to a facility, I was 99 pounds.
Oh my God. I forgot you had told me about that. Oh my goodness.
So I got super, super tiny. But
do you remember looking in the mirror and feeling like, did you think that you looked tiny?
No. I looked in the mirror and I thought I was the biggest I ever was, which is the biggest.
Yeah.
Like the body dysmorphia.
I was just going to say the dysmorphia. Yeah.
That is brutal. Yeah. Like, and I still struggle. I think everyone.
I was just going to say, you know, you and I were talking about it the other day. Like, I think deep down every girl, just off of society, like standards, I think for most women, they deal with some sort of body dysmorphia, but keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember like I was super strict with myself with eating, like in school. And I thought like, oh, I'm doing great. Like my grades in school were awesome. I was like, this has everything to do with my weight. Like everything, like I was energetic. I
really, even without like eating, you had energy?
I had energy because I was still working out. I was doing well in school. I thought like I could wear all these cool clothes because I was thinner. Yeah. But here's the funny thing. I was so thin. I was freezing all the time.
Oh my God.
So I couldn't even wear those like cute clothes that I wanted to because I had to bundle up and sweat.
You're like in a full blown snowsuit. You're like, I'm looking good though.
And the reason I wanted like to lose weight was to look good for other people and wear those cute clothes. I couldn't even do that because I was just so cold all the time.
Yeah.
Like I had a meal plan for myself and I can still remember. Like I can
share.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. For breakfast, I had, I don't even think they make them anymore, but they were called, like you put them in the toaster, they were like called muffin tops.
Oh my God, I remember those.
They were so good. But I was like, Mom, you have to get, first they were 100 calories. And then
That was it. They were so sugary.
I know. And then and it was like a chocolate chip one. But anyways, then they came out with 90 calories. And I was like, Mom, you got to buy the 90 calorie ones.
Oh my God.
And she didn't know any better. She was like, oh, I'm helping her by doing this. And so she would buy them for me.
Yeah.
So breakfast was that 90 calorie thing. I counted calories to a T.
Yes. Like an obsessive type of thing. Like there's an OCD component to that too, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Lunch at school and people noticed, but they didn't say anything to me.
Of course not.
One apple.
What?
One apple at lunch. And then when I came home from school, I had a little granola bar, which I think was like, it was like a little square one. I think it was like 70 calories. So that at that time, it's probably like, 3 o'clock? I've had less than 500 calories of food. And then dinner, I would have whatever my mom would make, but I would limit it. So like one portion, one plate, and maybe not even eat the whole plate. So my goal for each day was keep it under 800 calories.
Oh my God.
So, and I usually did that. Like I was good.
And throughout the day, did you ever have moments of being like, I'm starving right now and I want to eat, but I can't?
No, I was never hungry, which is baffling to me because if I were to do that right now, I would pass out.
Like, yeah.
There'd be a day or a time of the day when my stomach would hurt. I had no energy. I like either need to take a nap or like give me something to eat because I will
rip your head off.
And my moods, like I get hangry. Yeah. Oh God. But that never happened to me. And so that's why I thought I was like thriving.
Yeah. Oh my God.
When I was in the midst of my eating disorder, I was like, this is great. Like I'm doing well in everything. Like I can keep
going. You're able to function while still doing it. So that's what made it okay for you.
Yeah. And the only reason I was able to function was because I was in that, like, it was only 1 year. Like it was only a couple months that I had been eating so little and working out so much. So I still had the nutrients of when I was healthy in my body.
Right.
So I was still my body. Not scientific, obviously I'm not like a nutritionist by any means, but like I still had those storage.
Yeah. I was just kind of going to say, it's almost like you're using like storage energy that's left over from.
So it wasn't really hitting me yet.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But the longer I stayed, which obviously we can get into later, but the longer I stayed in the eating disorder, the more those, what's the word I'm looking for? Side effects came out.
I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. The more the side effects came out. and the all those like
awful things. So it was like catching up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it didn't catch up to me in the beginning, which is
when would you say that it caught up to you?
So it started my sophomore year of high school. And I'd say it caught up to me senior year of high school.
So it was like a year and you were like, wow, oh my God, I'm like really in this now.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did you say to yourself, this is super dangerous, I'm not okay and I'm not thriving anymore and I'm not able to function? Where were you when that happened? What moment was that for you?
So that didn't happen for a while. Cause when you're like sick, it's an addiction. Yeah. You like want it. I didn't think I needed to go away. I refused as much as I could to get help. My mom and dad finally like sat me down and they were like, you need to go. And like my doctor said, like, we're going to take you out of school. Like I had to stop gym class. I couldn't do anything and I couldn't work out.
Which must have been torture for you.
Yeah, because that was my vice.
Yeah. And
like when I'd be home alone, I would sneak on the treadmill and end up like, well, I remember one time my mom was like cleaning and I like snuck down into our basement and ran on the treadmill and I was walking up the stairs and I was like, oh, I forgot my phone. So I turned around really quick, fell down the flight of stairs because I passed out.
Yeah, I remember this story.
And
oh my God.
That's when my mom was like, you're never working out. My brother came up to me. He was the only one living with us at the time. And he was like, you're never running again. I will not let you on the treadmill ever again. So no physical activity. And after that time, I went to my pediatrician and she was like, yeah, you need to go. Like, if you don't go, you will, like, something bad will happen. You'll fall down a flight of stairs. You won't wake up.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Was that a scary experience for you? Or did you wake up and you're like, no,
I'm laughing.
Still. So it wasn't serious?
No.
Oh my God.
No, nothing was serious for me. I was like, guys, I'm fine.
You were just like in a state of in denial. And yeah. Just like, this is what you wanted and you didn't want to be.
Yeah. You couldn't tell me. Yeah, exactly. You couldn't tell me anything otherwise. I was in it to win it. Like, that was it. I went away a lot within my eating disorder. It was a very long period of time. And
so you're saying you went to different facilities?
Different facilities. Yeah. Yep. So the first one I went to was in Arizona.
Wow.
So like that was like almost traumatizing to be put on a plane and flown across the country.
Yeah, alone.
To stay by myself.
Oh my God.
That was awesome. Place and I wish I stayed longer looking back. And if I did stay longer, I know for a fact that I wouldn't have struggled as long as I did.
Yeah.
But I would call my mom every day and make her feel awful.
Oh, God.
And make her I would convince her to let me home.
So there was like a manipulation aspect of it because you were like, I'm miserable.
Yeah. But I was like, I don't belong here.
Was that how you were really feeling? Or were you just trying to get home and doing anything possible to get home?
I was doing anything to get home, to get out of the situation that I was in, like out of that eating a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, eating
this.
It was awful. But I had finally, I was there for maybe 2 months, 2.5 months.
Really? Yeah. That long?
I was there for a while.
Wow.
They do it very slowly because if you gain the weight super quick,
yeah,
it's detrimental for your mental health and probably not good for your body either.
Yeah, just to like puff up or something like that. Yeah.
So I convinced my mom to let me home. When I got home, I was there for 2.5 months. My lowest weight was like maybe 99, 100 pounds when I got in there. I think I came home and I was like 110. I put on like 10 pounds and I thought I was ginormous.
Oh my
God. The first thing I said to my mom when I got off the plane was, do I look fat? Looking back, I'm like, I'm so stupid. I should have stayed longer. Because if I stayed longer, I know for a fact I wouldn't have gone away as much as I did. I wouldn't have struggled for as long as I did. Like, that's something I would say to someone right now. Like, if you were struggling, stay in it as uncomfortable as it is, because if you leave too early, you will be stuck with your eating disorder for that much longer.
Like, yeah. You know, and I love that. And I just got chills because so with my brother, he was sent away to programs, and not comparing you to a drug addict but or an alcoholic, but they are
similar. Addiction.
Yeah. They're kind of almost like a parallel in, mm-hmm. in regards to like how the brain works addiction wise. And I think that what's interesting is, you know, with Tim, you know, you can detox from drugs and alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. You can't detox from food.
Yeah.
So the most difficult part for you in regards to all this is it's not like you can remove food and that will remove this situation and this pain that you're feeling.
Yeah.
You have to eat.
Yeah.
And so not only do you have to deal with physically you're gaining weight, but you have to deal with the mental side of things of I need to be eating at least what 3 meals a day yeah. for this to be healthy for me.
Yeah.
That's a huge step up from what you were doing. You were not even eating 1 meal a day. You were yeah. having like one snack for a meal. So that's a huge transition for you. And I think it would be super easy to beat yourself up. But mm-hmm. I think like the advice that you gave was so good, like stay in it as long as possible to avoid later on feeling oh, yeah. like you've just elongated the process. But I will say like, there is something about how long you went through it and like where you are now. And mm-hmm. like, I didn't know you sophomore year, but I knew you at the end of junior year. And I know how much you were struggling and seeing you now. I mean, yeah, if you had stayed, your journey might have been shorter, but who is to say that you wouldn't be the person that you are now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it all happened for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
As it did. And like, I would never wish an eating disorder on my worst enemy. Mm-hmm. I think it's not fun at all. Like, I missed out on a lot in my life. I used to like cancel plans with friends. I couldn't go to parties because say I would drink, I would be obliterated within one drink because
right,
I was just
in your
so
system.
Little.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go to parties. I couldn't go out with friends. People would invite me out to dinner or lunch or like, let's go to lunch and get a coffee. Couldn't do that. Not in yeah. my meal
so
plan.
So just like little things every day that like, you don't even think twice to do if mm-hmm. you don't have any, like
yeah.
for somebody that doesn't have an eating disorder, like you could walk out the door and be like, yeah, sure. I'd love to go grab a bagel and a coffee with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Would never do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's so sad to think back and like, be like, oh my God, I missed out on so much. But now it seems like that to you, yes, you're always going to have, mm-hmm. I'm sure, pieces of you that will still kind of resort back. But
yeah,
I mean, can you talk about how like you're feeling now in regards to the eating disorder and like where you're at in your journey now?
Yeah. So I was 15 when it all started. I'm 24 now.
Long time to go through this.
It's a long time. Yeah. And I'd be lying if I said I was 100% recovered. Like I think an eating disorder in some shape or form will always be with you, but it will be not controlled, but it will be, you'll be able to handle it better.
You have power over it. And
exactly.
It doesn't have power over you anymore.
Very much. Yeah. So like nowadays I always used to hate the words in like programs, like triggers. Like
yeah.
I would like laugh at them, but I get it now. Like I can identify the things that will make me want to resort back to those old habits, whether it was like binging and purging, whether it was restricting food for the day or over exercising or like just isolating myself from people and like just wanting to be alone. I can identify what will make me want to do that.
Wow.
And if I see that like coming or like I'm like, oh my God, this is gonna happen, I either like I tell my mom now. I'm like, Mom, like at night sometimes I'm like, Mom, I can't be alone. Like I just don't want to sit by myself in my room. Like so we'll watch a show together.
Oh, I love that.
Or like I'll call my sister or like I have friends I met from treatment places that I'm still in contact with today,
which is
awesome.
Amazing. Yeah.
Which is another great thing that came out of those things. Like I got a lot of friendships and people that I can always resort back to who
yeah.
really, really understand. So sometimes I'll reach out to them but I'm able to see and identify those triggers and then like be like, okay, so if I do this, I'm going to go back to those old habits. But if I like do something else, keep busy, like I can stop myself from like making that cycle, that snowball effect once again.
Right.
But like even now, like I still have those really bad days and like days where I look at food and I'm like, I wish I didn't have to do this. Or I start exercising and I look at the clock and I'm like, oh, it's been like yeah. 2 hours. And I'm like, but I can do more. But
I know.
So I think it's still with me now and it's almost been 10 years and which is awful. But again, like I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't struggle with what I struggled with.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing to take away from this is that like you have become such like a strong, beautiful person. Not that you were not those things before, but like it's almost this like metamorphosis you went through. Where it was like who you were has just been like magnified in a way where it's like you've kind of like tapped into like who you genuinely are and you're like able to fully be that. And I've noticed just in the last few times I've seen you, you seem so much lighter, like your soul just seems like happier and lighter. And there'd be times where like I can empathize and try to understand as much as possible. I've definitely struggled with some sort of eating disorder. I definitely have body dysmorphia, and being an athlete my whole life, stopping that exercise after the injury that I had and then not working out like a college athlete, you go through a lot in regards to that. So like I went through a lot of the similar things, obviously not to the same extent, but I can understand. And I just know that you have gone through so much and who you are right now. I've never seen this side of you. So I'm happy that you have that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I want to talk about yoga for you, because I think that yoga has been something that I don't know. I want to say this for you, has saved your life in a way.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So why don't we talk about like how you found yoga and how that was a good balance for you to like tap into not only something that was a good, healthy outlet for you, but you're now, you want to point your career down this route.
Yeah. So my mom actually got me into yoga, and it was when I was in the midst of the whole eating disorder. She brought me to a class. I was so against it. I was like, yoga? Like, why would I want to go to yoga?
Right.
So she brought me, and I can still remember my first class, and it makes me laugh now because, like, in yoga, you're supposed to kind of be on your mat, like, just you and your mat. Like, that's it. Like, there's no one else around you. It's just you breathing and moving and being in check with your body and your mind. And I remember that first class standing on my mat, and I was like looking around the room like, am I doing this right? And like I could see the teacher kind of like chuckling at me because I was like just like looking at every single person around me like back and forth, like wouldn't stop moving. After that first class, I was like, oh, it was kind of fun. So I went back to another and like at another and another, and before you know it, I was like doing it regularly. I fell in love with it, and it was my outlet. I like became more in tune with the mental side of things and didn't focus more on like what my body looked like and focus on those external distractions and like whether people were looking at me or not, like while I was working out, because no one cared.
Well, I think that's so interesting because like I like yoga a lot. I love yoga, but I definitely struggle with feeling like when I step into a class, I'm obviously not a yogi by any means. And there's this sense of feeling like, oh my God, I'm in a class full of people. They're going to be judging me. But the reality of the situation is everyone's on their mat being centered in their own way.
Oh, yeah.
They are focusing on themselves. There's no judgment ever. Like
never.
It's this weird, like misconceived notion that people have like walking, and not even just yoga, but like an exercise class.
Yeah.
Like people steer away from them because there's other people around. They don't want to be judged. Like even it's funny. I was talking to my mom this morning. Like I prefer working out alone. So I'll wake up in the morning, I get my workout done and I'm done.
Yeah.
And it's like, when people are like, oh, you want to work out? And I'm like, oh my God, it makes me anxious. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't want to feel like I have to be like up to your level or that I'm like doing more than you are. Like, and I don't know if that's like a sense of OCD or anxiety that I'm dealing with, but like, I like to be at my own, like, I like to be doing my own thing alone and centered with myself.
Yeah.
But I found that with yoga, like, especially at Saybrook Soul Sweat, like, that studio, I don't know what it is, but like you walk in there and it's just like, there's literally no judgment at all. All of the instructors there are just so helpful. Like you were saying, like the professor, the instructor was like giggling at you, but like, it wasn't like she was like mocking you.
It was she like was a, just like, like I've been there. Like I know what you're, and she was like, probably cause I was very young too. I was like 15 or 16, and everyone else in the class was an adult, probably in their like 40s.
Yep.
And so there's like this little girl coming in and just like looking around kind of like in awe at like what people were doing. And like, and I was just like, and I was laughing at myself for sure too.
Yeah. Well, and that's, and you know, with yoga, there's like, you fall off your mat or fall out of a position. Like you're supposed to be easy on yourself. And like, be okay with that, like, you know, you tumbled off or you didn't get the move or like whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, and yeah, like we were saying, when you step into a class of people, you're like, everyone's going to be looking at me. No one's looking at you.
Yeah.
Like even when the instructor, like I find that when I'm looking at someone, and sometimes you will make eye contact with that person. And like when an instructor makes eye contact with me, even now I'm like, oh my God, they're watching me. Like yeah. They're looking at
me. Well,
that's
me. How it feels. Yeah.
And we're not, we're looking at like your form. We're looking at like where that foot is placed, how your joints are working as you're moving. And we're not looking at like, oh my God, her body, his body while he's doing that pose. Yeah. Like that thought has never, ever crossed my mind while I'm teaching. And being a teacher now and knowing that helps me be a student.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So it like comes hand in hand, because when I find a teacher looking at me now, I'm like, oh, I know they're just looking at like my form. Like if my knee is not in the right position, am I going to hurt myself? They'll come and adjust me. And I'll be like, it's not because I'm doing it wrong. It's because I would be doing it to hurt myself. Like they're just trying to make it better for me.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing too, with the instructors is like, I had felt sometimes, never at Sabre, but when we had gone to
other studios, yes,
there was almost not like, I don't want to say the word judgment, but almost like, I feel like they were looking at me, and this is probably just my own insecurity.
Yeah.
But feeling like they were looking at me and being like, this chick has no idea what she's doing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like being like judging the way that I'm doing the pose.
Yeah.
And that's like, you just said, like, that's so not what it is. But as humans, like we're so hard on ourselves. Like you walk into somewhere and it's like, why is that our first reaction? Why does it have to be automatically like, well, they're judging me. Well, they're looking at me like this. And it's like, more times than not, that's absolutely not the case. Like even when someone walks in the room, like what's one of the first things that you notice about them? Probably what they're wearing, probably what their hair color is. I don't go to their body weight. I'm not thinking, geez, oh my God, do you see how big? Like never.
Yeah.
Because more times than not, it's like, that's the, like, I don't care about that thing.
No. Yeah.
But we care so much as individuals.
And it's so silly.
It is. It really is. But I mean, and we don't have to get into this thing, but it's absolutely society's pressure.
Definitely.
Most especially on women, not to say that men don't struggle as well, but this pressure of feeling like it needs to be no curve, no piece of hair, no, that like you can't have anything that makes you look not feminine. And it's just,
or like different.
Yeah. And it's like, why is that? Who's to say that that's the idea of beauty? Like, why can't it be a bunch of different things? Like we were talking about like shaving heads the other day, and like, cause my little brother John was saying like something about long hair, and we were talking about how that's like a feminine thing to have long, beautiful hair. And I was like, no, it's not. Who cares? A woman could shave her head and she'd still be beautiful. Like, why does it matter what length her hair is or how big she is or how little she is? Like, that doesn't matter. What I find beautiful is who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think yoga definitely can help you become a better person too.
Oh, definitely.
Have you gained more like confidence and patience? Like, what have you gained as a person, an individual, aside from the physical stuff? Like mentally, what have you gained from this?
Oh, mentally, I probably have gained more than I have physically.
Right.
I'm able to slow down. I've always been a go, go, go person. And like if I have idle time, I like hated it.
Yeah.
I wanted to be doing something, be busy.
Do you think that was to like distract yourself from what you had going on?
I think it was more of a distraction for myself. And then with yoga, I'm able to step back. I'm able to enjoy the time to sit, to do nothing.
To be still.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. And then I have a lot more patience with myself, but with other people.
I think that's a big one. Just before you keep going, patience with yourself is so hard to come by. Like how often do we get frustrated with ourselves? Cause we can't do, or we are not this.
Mm-hmm.
And finding this patience with yourself, I think is so important. Yeah. And I think that's really cool that you've discovered that.
Yeah. Cause I always wanted, like when I started, I would never start anything new because I didn't want to be bad at it. Right. I wanted to be the best at everything. And that's something I still struggle with. Like I avoid new situations, new things, because I know that I won't be good at it and it'll take time to be good at it. And lately I've been like trying to step out of my comfort zone. Like I've started strength training. with
I'm so proud of you for this because you look so good. So,
with my personal trainer, and I almost canceled my first session because I kept thinking like going back, like I'm going to go in there and he'll give me like a certain amount of weight and I'm not going to lift it over my head. I have strength from yoga, but not like that weightlifting strength by any means.
Right.
And that's just how my body is or how like I train. And I remember that first class, I almost canceled it with him. And I like told my brother how I was feeling and he was like, no, just go. Like, you're going to like it. It'll be weird. It'll be different, but I feel like you're going to like it. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll just go. And I remember walking into his like little training room and I like got so nervous and we started doing stuff and I like found like, oh, I can actually do this. Like, I'm not like an expert by any means, but like I can see myself growing. And I think that's important now, like to be able to identify like, okay, I'm not going to be amazing at this, but I can improve. Like there's room for me to improve. And I think that's important. And in yoga, I learned that because yoga is not like a stagnant practice. There's always something you can do. You can learn more. You can learn a different pose. Like people are creating poses every day. Like you don't realize
it. So many variations.
Yeah, variations of thing, like depth in your flexibility, depth in your strength. And that's why I love yoga because it's evolving continuously. It's not like something that you can get the best at and be the best at because it changes.
Yeah,
it changes every single day. That has really helped me like outside of yoga, just with knowing that I'm not going to be perfect at everything, but I could get there one day. I could get not to perfection, but improvement. I could get better at something and like having that patience with myself, knowing that it's not going to be perfect in the beginning. But like one day I'll be comfortable with it and I'll be able to walk into a class and be like, or with my trainer and be like, oh yeah, I can lift that. Like I can do that. Like that patience has helped me a ton and learning that from yoga has helped.
Yeah. And I love that. Cause like just showing up and
that's enough.
Yeah. But just showing up and going the first day, like that's so huge that you just showed up.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's a life lesson, not only just for working out or just for anything, but in regards to just life, just show up. And that's the first step.
Yeah.
And if you showed up today to whatever you needed to do, or you just showed up personally for yourself and you were there for yourself, then that's congratulations because you did enough. Like it's so hard to muster up the strength and the inner strength to get to that point. Uh-huh. So if you can do that, then that's a celebration in its own.
Yeah. So funny that you say that because a lot of times in my classes and as a teacher, I like to say that in the beginning of class, I like to say like let go of whatever it took for you to get here and just know that you're here, you're on your mat, you're in this space surrounded by people, by that energy, and that's enough. And I say like, if you choose to lay on your back in this class and just enjoy the presence of people and enjoy the heat of the room, do it.
Yeah.
I like do what you want. Like if I call something out and you're like, I don't want to do that. Like my body doesn't feel right doing that. And if you skip it, I don't care. Like,
yeah,
I had my brother just got surgery and I made him come to a class with me. He was so against it. And I was like, just lay there. And he laid there. And when he got out of the class, he just sweat.
Yeah.
And like just sweat out this stuff.
Oh,
it's heated.
So
it's hot yoga.
Him.
And he was like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to move, but even just laying there and just sweating and just like being around people and like not being by myself, like that helped me. And I think that's like the biggest thing is just showing up.
Yeah.
It's just like, even if not for an exercise class, but say for school, like you don't do school or like you haven't gone to college and you're nervous to take that first step, just start somewhere, show up. Like, schedule a meeting with an advisor, look online, search online for classes, for schools, for what you can sign up for, or like for a new job. Just go that first day. You might hate it. You might love it. You never know until you try.
You're literally giving me chills right
now.
So talking about school really quick. So you had originally gone to UNH, correct?
Yes.
That was the first school. So yes. University of New Hampshire. You were only there for how long?
less than 24 hours.
So Maddie went up, and so just briefly, you went up, and what happened? You ended up being in a, like, single,
right? I was in a single dorm in the, and I, okay, so I was in the athletic dorm, like, where the athletes stayed, and I wasn't going to play sport in college, so it was weird.
Yeah.
That I got that room, and it was an amazing room. Like, I was right across from the bathroom.
You sent me a picture of your dorm room, and I was like,
my mom decorated. It was beautiful, like one of those Pottery Barn catalog college rooms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they left, and I called them. They were still sitting in the parking lot. They told me this, like, a couple months later. Like, they hadn't even left the state. But I was like, I'm not staying here. Come get me. And they were like, oh, no, we're already on the highway. You have to stay. And I was like, no. And I was crying and crying. And I just wasn't in a good place. Like, looking back, I wasn't in a good place mentally for going away to school. I had called the guy that I was dating at the time. We had been in a serious relationship for a couple years. And he, God bless his soul.
Yeah, really.
Drove all the way to New Hampshire, helped me pack his car with all of my stuff. I showed up at home the next day. My parents didn't know this. And I walked into the house and was like, surprise. And they were just like, what are you doing? And I was
I didn't know that they didn't know that you were going home.
No, they didn't know I was coming home.
That's the best part of the whole thing, is that they had no idea. And you're just like, I'm back.
Yep. And it was like, to get me to that school was like pulling teeth. Like, to get all that paperwork, like all the school stuff you need to give.
Well, you just weren't ready.
No, I wasn't ready.
So everything was just so tedious and awful for you, because you were just, your heart wasn't in it.
Yeah. I always like, yeah, I had the quickest degree in the world. It was 24 hours long. Like,
that's still you, one guys, of my favorite stories.
Yeah.
Of you.
Like, you guys are in there for 4 years. I got out there in 24 hours.
Do you have plans on going back and just starting with a class or something? Do you want to do something like that?
Oh my God, I didn't even tell you this. I'm starting classes at Middlesex Community.
Shut up!
Yeah, I'm actually, like, this week, because I haven't done...
I just got chills over my entire body. Okay.
I forgot.
I just graduated from Middlesex, and literally, I could cry right now. I'm so proud of you.
I forgot.
I can't believe you just... This is breaking news, everyone. Oh my God, no. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, and you know how many times I have, like, applied to community colleges then just, like, never followed through because I hate change.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's that just showing up. So I finally was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to do it. I made an appointment with an advisor, and through this whole stinking virus, everything's online, which is kind of nice.
I was just going to say, this actually might be better for you.
I think it is a little bit better for me, just to ease my way back into it.
You're also super intelligent too. So, like, you have the ability to, I'm sure you probably would have an easier time teaching the material to yourself, probably more so than I would. Like, I am more of a classroom learner. Yeah. I need a little bit more guidance in regards to that.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is probably, there couldn't be a better time for you to go to school.
Which is what my parents were saying as well. So I, like, kind of not forced myself, but I made myself do it.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm only starting part-time. I'm starting very small.
That's how I did it.
And, like, to ease my way back into
That's exactly how I did it. I took two classes at a time.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I'm starting with just your math and English. Yeah. And then from there, I'm going to, like, go into something in the health field.
I'm so proud of you. That's so exciting.
Yeah. So there's that. And I'm going to continue teaching at the studio, yoga studio, while I can. I'm probably going to have to, like, step back a little bit.
Right.
Just to make school the priority right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to continue, obviously, being a yoga teacher, because I'm sure people have heard this, but it's not the best paying job. So for that aspect, it's not awesome, but for, like, the physical and mental aspect,
right,
it's great. So I would continue doing it for that, and just have that, my dad calls it walking around cash, just like the money that you can, like, put in your back pocket.
Yeah.
But I do want to just find a more stable job, financially stable job, which is where the college comes in.
Yeah Good for you.
Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't tell me that.
I know, I completely forgot.
How rude of you.
I know. No, I forgot.
I asked you to bring a quote today.
Yes.
Do you want to share that with the viewers?
Yeah. So it's actually the background on my phone.
I love that.
And it's like, sometimes it can be perceived as like a little harsh of a quote, but it helps me. It is discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. So I think discipline, which some people can think like discipline comes hand in hand with like that control aspect and needing to be in control, but discipline has many shapes and forms.
Absolutely.
I think you can put this in a bunch of different things. Something that I always remind myself with this quote is like, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. 100%.
And I think discipline is that, like, you're going to be in a situation where you can choose that easy path, the thing that'll give you satisfaction within like 10 seconds. And this can also come, like, it plays in with an eating disorder as well, because with those eating disorder habits, usually once you engage in it, it's like that immediate relief,
mm-hmm.
like whatever it is, like you're uncomfortable, you do what you used to do and you feel good, but it's like that immediate relief that lasts like an hour. So like that immediate relief, have like that discipline to notice that, like choose, be like, it's not going to be the easiest thing to do, but I have to keep going in that direction. So like to what I want for my future, or like what I want most in life, it's not going to be the easy path. You need the discipline to choose.
Well, and I think I love that. I think it speaks volumes to just everyday life. Just mm-hmm. having discipline is going to end up, in turn, hopefully down the road, help you in the long run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're disciplined now, how is that going to benefit you down the road? And I think, as we all know, we don't have control over our future, but if we stay disciplined, if we keep showing up, if we do the things that we know we can do,
whether it's hard or not. Yeah.
And I love what you said about the learning how to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Because when I was playing college lacrosse up at Plymouth, I had a coach that would sprinkle in these life lessons uh-huh. and practices without us ever knowing. And she would put us in these really uncomfortable positions.
Yeah.
And not like positions on the field, but just like in general, like we were like placed, or maybe it was an uncomfortable position. Maybe she put me on defense and I always played low attack. She would always do that because she wanted us to learn how to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And be okay with that.
Yeah.
And the minute we learned how to be okay with that, there was nothing that was ever going to come our way and be like, all right, well, I mean, yeah, this is uncomfortable, but like, this is nothing I can't handle because I've been here before
uh-huh.
or I've been in a similar circumstance. So I think that that's a really great quote. I'm really happy you brought that.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming. This has been so fun.
It's been so fun.
Do you have any last words? Do you want to drop your Instagram handle?
Ooh, yeah. A last word.
Yeah,
though,
please.
A last thing to say, like maybe a little bit of advice for anyone who may be struggling with like an eating disorder, a mental health issue, or just struggling in life, like getting your foot in the door in somewhere. Don't struggle alone. So don't make it a silent struggle, because there are more people in this world that struggle with the same exact thing as you do that
mm-hmm.
say nothing. And if you say nothing, no one will know. So reach out for help, tell your friend, like even now, like me and you, I've learned like we struggle similar things and we're able to connect differently on that level. And I didn't know that in high school. And I think had I known that in high school, I probably would have been a little bit more open, would have like shared my feelings a little bit more. So if you just reach out to someone, whether that's your friend, your sibling, your parents, like just don't do it alone.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's super important.
I love that.
And my Instagram. No, please. At Maddie, M-A-D-D-Y-K, Berry, B-E-R-R-Y.
Thank you so much for coming on. And honestly, everything that you said is just so beautiful. You're so well-spoken. I'm so proud of the journey that you've gone on and where you've gotten. It's been really cool watching you grow.
Yeah. And same to you, honestly. I think it's all, I know.
What, are we going to start crying and holding
nope.
each other? All right. Well, I love you. So
love
thanks for coming
you.
On.
Thanks.
As you all know, you can listen to all of our shows at uptomeradio.com or from one of your favorite podcast apps, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Just search for Up To Me Radio, click on and follow my show. Follow Journeys Unconventional on Instagram at uptome.radio and on Facebook at Up To Me Radio. You can follow my own personal Instagram at Right Up Your Alley. And don't forget, I have an email that you guys can send into, which is a Buckley at uptomeradio.com. I would love to hear any and all feedback that you have. If you'd like to email me, you can also send a DM to my Instagram account if that's easier for you. But either way, however you do it, please let me know what you guys are thinking so far. It's really important for me to know what you guys like, what you guys don't like, who you guys want to have on the podcast and hear from. So please give me your feedback. Give me your advice. Give me anything. And don't forget, our Hope campaign is going on. Other than that, next episode is going to be Kia Knight, who also works for Up to Me Radio. We're going to be talking about how she volunteers at a recovery center. It's definitely a powerful episode, and I can't wait for you guys to hear everything that Kia does and who she is. It's beautiful. So have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I will see you on Monday. Bye.